Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend. And Carmelo. Oof. Man, I love Carmelo, but oh my God, did you see that pass he threw at the referee?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck was he thinking with
when he gets hot, it's great, but that motherfucker cannot play defense. I mean, he's not the one you want to bring in the ball up the floor or try to orchestrate an offense.
He is perfect for the bench, I gotta say. He's perfect.
He's a good spot up shooter. I mean, yeah, he can create his own shot like a little bit, to the extent he used to, obviously, because he's fucking like 37 right now, but yeah, he just needs to be a spot-up shooter. That's it.
You know, it's amazing because when LeBron was first out and shit, I was like, oh, shit, Melo is, like, stepping in really hard. But it's like, when Melo plays well, he plays well. But when he plays bad, holy shit, it's like...
Yeah, shit just comes tumbling down.
What the fuck is he doing? Like, in that other game, the last game we played, I was just watching him when he was playing. I was just like, I don't know, what is he doing right now? Like, it's almost like he's never played a game of basketball when he plays bad. It's like his IQ drops somehow. Like, his basketball IQ just, like, goes down the middle and shit. And it's like, I know LeBron's got to be really frustrated right about now. Like, I got to be – he probably thought he assembled this great fucking Avengers team here and shit. And it's like, they making some of the most rookie asinine mistakes I've ever seen. And it's like, what is going on here? But that's going to change, Cody, because like I told you my 2 months ago, 3 months ago – Steph Curry on his way, baby.
No, it's not. You're probably a delusional Cowboy fan, right?
Cody, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we're totally going to win a Super Bowl this year.
Cody.
Yeah.
Cody.
What happened?
Cody. He coming.
Cody, what?
He coming, bro. It's going down. Yeah. Flew him on that private jet, baby.
So you have a like, let's have a staycation in LA, and then back to the fucking
You see with your eyes, Cody, not with your head. You know what, I mean? What was he doing? Brought the wife and family over. I was like,
take a little LA trip. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He had some dinner too, Cody. You know, it was good.
I'm sure it was good.
Yeah, it sure was good.
Yeah. Good. Like 4-star Michelin.
Hey, 5-star Michelin.
I don't know about that rating shit. I'm not bougie like that.
Yeah. Oh, what you trying to say? Oh, hold on. I'm as hood as they come, Cody. What are you talking about? Shit, I'm talking about that 5-star chicken waffle house. You know what I'm saying? Shit,
Roscoe's.
Yeah, fuck. Shit tastes like shit. No, I'm good.
Roscoe's is trash though.
Yeah,
take off a little tangent. That shit is awful. I don't know what happened.
It's horrible. That's what it tastes like. Yeah.
I first had it back in the day when I was scared as fuck. I was like a little child. They took me to that Roscoe's and God knows where in L.A.
Oh, it was on Pico.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It was that original one.
Mm-hmm. That shit was good as fuck.
Yeah.
And I had it years later. I was like, what the fuck is this? The chicken was bland as fuck.
You know what happened is they took all them black people out of the kitchen. That's why.
Yeah, they tried to franchise that shit. That was the problem.
That's the problem.
That's what you don't do.
Then they got all them white people in there and they stopped seasoning. So
exactly why I tasted that chicken. That shit tastes basic as fuck. I'm like, wow.
Oh, this bitch tried to give me fucking potato salad with raisins in it, by the way. I almost threw a fucking chair into the air. I wanted to just flop that over and shit. So I just pulled a trash can real close by and just slid that motherfucker right up in there. I was like, yeah, there we go. I said, what's that purple shit right there? It's a raisin. Karen, if you don't get the fuck away from me right now, bitch, putting no goddamn raisins in no Negro in no black man. But welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JP.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
But when Steph get over here, Cody, don't you worry. It's gonna be perfect.
Okay.
We trading half the roster for him, by the way.
I want this Doctor Strange sling ring shit so I could hop over to the universe where this shit is actually happening. Because try to sound like this one. I'll tell you that.
It's this one, Cody. Don't worry.
No.
It's happening.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all.
You shouldn't be because he's coming. And when he comes, it's going to be a magical time of the year. Oh. Man. we trading half the roster for him too. We, I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay. Yeah, yeah. We don't need to have any of the roster. It's just gonna be it's gonna be 3-on-5 going forward. LeBron, AD, and Steph. We
take such a great idea for Golden State to take that deal. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, it's great. It's amazing. They don't have a choice. Frankie V showed up with a fucking gunpoint and just said, nigga, give me that goddamn motherfucker right now. My job is on
the Frankie V didn't do shit. This motherfucker can't even coach a game anymore. What makes you expect him to coach?
You know what? You said the Cowboys. Frankie V is like fucking Mike McCarthy now from the Cowboys. He just literally.
Oh, God. That
motherfucker, that motherfucker just stares
at the got that one Super Bowl, and that was it. He was like, job is done. Cool.
Frankie V just looks up at the fucking Big Tron now and just looks at and go like, huh.
I don't even look at that motherfucker the same way anymore. I don't even think he talks the same way. LeBron James, get the ball to LeBron. Westbrook.
Yeah.
Say this. And defense means
you
stay right there and then talk.
Hey.
And boom.
Maybe we should trade with the Nets since they didn't need a fucking coach. Remember, we'll trade coaches. Let's trade coaches in because
I don't know about it.
I'd rather take Steve Nash right now. I'd rather take Steve Nash.
Right now. I don't know if I have faith in Steve Nash. I'm gonna lie to you.
Obviously, not with them Eagles on that team. Hell no. Hell no, not on that fucking team, shit. But I would prefer him over here with a team that could actually – I feel like they could listen, but I just feel like the coaching just isn't there.
Mm.
I don't think it's there at all.
Oh, it's funny. In hindsight, I kind of wish we would have got that Tyronn Lue deal done, made. But,
Cody, let's not talk about this.
It is. it is what it is, you know. It is what it is.
Oof, man, that fucking turnover in defenses, man. We could just, you know. Oh, and you know another problem, too, now we have is fucking rebounds. How the fuck can we not get rebounds? We have a lot of problems. We have like
we have like
8x10 Negroes on our team. We still can't catch rebounds, Cody. Like, what's going on here? What is going on here? Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, we do got a lot of problems, that's for sure. But I tell you, we don't have problems. And this man keeps not giving this dude his credit or whatever and shit. And that's Skip Bayless. Steph Curry, dude. This motherfucker is just incredible. Holy shit. I mean, we already knew he was incredible, but Jesus Christ. This dude, he's like must-see now with his games this year. Like, you just got to watch it just to see what this dude's going to do. I mean, he's incredible right now. Him and the Suns are like top players or top teams in the West right now. Actually, in the whole fucking league, if you ask me. I think it's, 16-3 or 17-3?
Something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there, whatever and shit. But Steph Curry is playing unbelievably great right now. And when he comes over to the Lakers, Cody, which I said 3 months ago, it's going to be great. Yeah. So don't you worry. Everything is going to be fixed.
Once again, not worried.
Everything's gonna be fixed, Cody. Okay, everything's gonna be fixed, and we're not gonna have no problems come Christmas time. Okay, Christmas is gonna be great this year. And the only thing
that's pretty fucking soon.
Yeah. It's gonna happen, Cody. I told you in December. I told you. Like I put your life on it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Cody. The only fucked up part about Christmas is we got to listen to another year of some shitty ass Christmas songs. Holy fuck.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. And the fire is so delightful. And since we have no place to go, let it snow.
Wait a minute. How the fuck is a fire delightful?
I do not know.
That motherfucker was burning
Go ahead.
That motherfucker was burning his wife when he sung that song, dude. He was like, oh, the fire is so.
I got this shit ingrained in my head from this job I used to work at years ago. And he used to play this shit nonstop. Mm. It was like the same, like, 5 songs.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess it's this time of season where Mariah Carey gets her, her check for.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that song.
I'm so sick of that. I am so sick of that goddamn song. It's funny.
All I want for Christmas is you.
This might be the worst month of music ever, actually.
It is the worst month of music.
It is
the worst. I didn't know it was possible. We should have done that shitty music month this month.
We actually, Should have did shitty Christmas. So like our actually, we probably could do it right now. Oh, I can tell you my. You know what? Hey, then you know we just change some shit right now. Okay, so the worst goddamn Christmas song for me, it might be that Mariah Carey song, but you know which one I really most.
So many, man.
There's so many, and I'm just gonna go on the fly right now. I can't stand fucking Jingle Bells, Cody. I fucking hate that song so goddamn much. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle. Nigga, shut the fuck up, please. Like, what are you talking about, jingle bell? What is that even? What is a fucking jingle bell, Cody? You just jingling some balls?
Yeah. It's jingling, make a little sound.
Fuck wants to hear that all day? I don't hear that shit when it rings, let alone hear it all fucking day. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse. So that shit ain't real. So how the fuck you gonna ride in this? This ain't fun at all. God damn. And then I remember the first time we went to Barcode, it was around December, and we were talking shit about Christmas songs, and then sure enough, this motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, we did, huh?
That brother was singing his ass off. Remember that shit, Cody? He was like that dude in that Mr. T cereal commercial and shit that was singing them goddamn Christmas songs and shit. And he was just like, yeah, I already hate this area now. Oh,
man.
Yeah. Oh, and then other one is Frosty the fucking Snowman. Oh, fuck that snowman, dude. I hope that snowman.
I think my most hated is, what's that band's name? Beach Boys. Little Saint Nick. It's a little Saint Nick, little Saint Nick. Remember that shit?
Oh God, unfortunately,
Fucking awful.
So yeah, come our I guess mix and match. We're gonna do our most hateful Christmas songs. And how about that, man?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, because we fucking despise. I don't know why we didn't think of this sooner. Because every year we talk about why we hate this fucking month so goddamn much. You know, it can be one of the best holidays and also one of the worst.
Hey, that's really true, huh? I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah. You might end up getting the best gift you've ever had in your life. Mm-hmm. And then you got to listen to Frosty the Snowman. And people make terrible eggnog drinks and shit. And
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I fucking hate that guy.
Had a very shiny nose.
I wish somebody would
have shot him. And if you ever saw him, I don't know how the rest of the song goes.
Within one stormy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, who invented the idea of Santa Claus and this gay-ass reindeer? I want to know.
Santa baby.
Oh!
I do. However the rest of the song goes, I don't know.
That sounds like some Harley Quinn.
So hurry
Quinn
down
shit,
the chimney tonight.
Do, 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 do. Ba-da-da.
Holla, boy. A double dose of fucking misery. Oh.
You think those now kids... Top 25 Christmas songs of the year.
You know, I was picturing those old, you know, those infographic music things when you used to have the albums. They used to have like here's Fall Out Boy's rendition of all your Christmas favorites, such as Rudolph, those reindeer.
Oh gosh, they actually did that in a Scary Movie too. Remember with
I do remember that.
But that album was looked hard though. I mean, I actually would have bought that. I think it was All I Want for Christmas is my 6'4". Frosty the Dope Man. I was like, these songs sound good. I like this song. That was back when Scary Movie was still kind of funny. Then just fell off a fucking train wreck and just became a social meme.
Oh, that's funny.
At least you got Eartha Kitt singing this one.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of helps.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under.
Yeah, I guess it's Eartha Kitt singing it. It don't sound that bad, actually. He's like, yeah, I would have slept with Eartha Kitt.
Santa baby, so hurry down the
chimney. The way Cody was singing it, it's from that other chick, and that other chick sound like Harley Quinn singing the shit. And you just like, God damn, you know. Sometimes you'd be like, oh, I just want to put a bullet in that person for singing that, but then that's one of those points like you just put the bullet to yourself. You're just like, fuck.
Yeah, it's like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hear that. Oh Jesus Christ, Miley Cyrus sung it. Damn, wow. Oh man. Mariah Carey sung it 1 year ago, featuring Ariana Grande and Jennifer Hudson.
Of course she did.
She's like the poster child for Christmas, isn't she? Oh, hell no. Nah, that's all right. I think that was the Mariah Carey. I think we just found the fucking worst goddamn Christmas song now. Like, oh, look, Michael Bublé, Santa Baby. You want to hear Michael Bublé singing, Cody?
No, I do not, actually. But
oh, he's got a whole Christmas album, Cody.
I know. Fucking hate Michael Bublé.
Santa Baby.
Oh.
This don't get you turned on, Cody.
Oh man. Oof. Well, if you need music to go to sleep to, this will do it.
You not wide awake right now, Cody?
No.
Ooh. Oh, shit, we still recording, Cody. Oh, shit. This motherfucker look creepy as fuck with that post picture. Look at that shit. Yeah, he holding that present like I got something for you, bitch.
Who the fuck holds a present? Like, who does that pose like that?
Nigga, it's wrapped already. Why you gotta hide it?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Why he creep up the side like?
Hey, you know he look like a motherfucker from 50 Shades of Grey and shit. It's like
he does.
I got something for you, girl. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that might have been the most boring ass song I've ever heard, actually. So tune in for that on Mix and Match Week, 2 weeks from now, people. Wow, I don't even know what we were talking about now. That motherfucker just erased my brain. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is a drinking show. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, they have some drinks after this shit.
Yeah, I was going to say. Funny enough, it's Armagnac month now, Cody. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Waiting for this month for a while.
It feels like forever, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about this for a while.
When did we first say this? Was this like April or some shit?
Ooh, might have been earlier than that.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking like March, maybe.
Yeah.
It feels like forever, people. I mean, I didn't think this month was going to... I thought I'd be dead before this month even got here, to be honest.
I also thought you would be dead.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you'd go into like your full potential hipster form, too, by then. You know?
Nah, I've been docked a little bit.
I see you trying to fight it.
I can't get away from it completely. None of us can.
Like, hipster is chasing you, and you're, like, running away, and it's like, get out of my head, hipster thoughts, you know? And it's, like, chasing you still, and it's like, oh, Cody, put this around your neck. Come on. You'll be warm, buddy.
That has happened before. Yeah. I go to my closet, and I look at that scarf, like, Ben, I feel like that bat costume. I'm like...
Instead of lifting tires, you were, like, ironing?
Yeah.
Nice and crisp. Just how I like my scarves. You open up Cody's closet, it's nothing but fucking tank tops one side and some fucking long ass U-necks and then scarves.
Got tank tops, U-necks, and scarves.
Yeah. And then the two pair of jeans that got the rips in them and shit or whatever. And
oh,
shit.
Fuck you. Fuck you. All right. Hang on that goddamn
It's like, huh? They both the same pants too and shit, but he just looks at them and go like, which one today?
We're like Kingpin's closet with all the white coats and shit.
Except you look like the Kingpin from Into the Spider-Verse one.
Yeah.
That's funny because you kind of act like the Kingpin from the Daredevil series or whatever and shit. You know, you'd be looking at a bottle going, like, oh, beer. Oh. Oh, and then, like, you know, motherfuckers drink your shit. You try to, like, cave their head in and shit like that or whatever and stuff. You know, that's the other side of Cody I haven't seen yet, people. He likes the finer.
So much dimension.
Yeah, so much dimension. Some shit that you don't want to get involved into. But so anyway, people, it is Armagnac month here, and here on the last drop, and it's my time. And as Fabulous once said, my time is now. So yes, my time is now. And right now, what I have is I'm never gonna get this name right, but fuck it, I'm gonna try it anyway. So I'm pulling out the bottle, El Encantada. Lee Cantata? Yeah, El Encantada, yeah.
La Cantata.
Encantada! And which is the name of the actual company, too, which I believe is a... It started off as like its own little private-owned spirit company. Or I don't even know if I can call it a spirit company, actually, to be honest, because... So what it was the guys that started this was... obviously, everybody knows Armagnac comes from France, and they were looking for something... a little bit more unique in their Armagnacs, you know, and they couldn't find it. So they just said, fuck it, I'll make my own. And I was just looking at going like, I tell you, man, sometimes when you can just like say, oh, I'll just make my own and do something with it, you know, people just tend to go fucking do it, I guess. But also, they also label this as a brandy, as a great brandy as well, too, because they did some things to this Armagnac that some people don't classify as an Armagnac. So in order to get it on the shelves as an Armagnac, Cody, they labeled it as a great brandy, which is another unique story in itself as I was reading up on it and shit. And I was like, oh, that's unique. So they wanted to try something different with Armagnacs and like add a bunch of different kind of casks that they made it with. A lot of virgin oak casks and a lot of bourbon or wine cask. Sometimes, or some of the Armagnac aficionados, if you will, labeled that as like fucking with the tradition of Armagnacs. You're not supposed to do that. You can't do that. How dare you do that, you know? So that's when Elkin Cantata came up with this series right here. And the series I'm coming up to is the Tattoo Series number one, Great Brandy, finished in ex-bourbon cask and aged in Weller barrel bourbon barrels. And that's this beautiful bottle right here.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy because I didn't realize that the Armagnac people were that like so anal about it, I guess, if you will. Because you would think in all the spirit companies, there's no real way of defining something or as far as the liquor goes. You would think they'd all be interested in the creativity of it when it comes like whiskey, beer, whatever it may be and shit like that. But they were really potent on these guys saying like, you know, fuck that. That ain't Armagnac. We don't want that. You know, I think it was like that Great Gatsby shit. That's new money. We old money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wait, you ain't welcome here, you know? So when I saw this bottle and we talked about it, I was like, oh, I got to get that bottle. Cause it's got like this, Day of the Dead type design on it. You know, it's like got the skeleton in the middle with the snakes.
That looks cool.
I love the design of this bottle here, man. And as you can see, I've been like kind of drinking on it. actually, I haven't drank it straight yet, though. I've been making cocktails with this thing a lot lately, and they come out fucking perfect. PM, this is a PM Spirit project, and they just came out with batch number two. I got this for $150 at K&L, and I think I said the other week I saw it at Total Wine now. They sell it there, and I thought I saw it like for like $175 or some shit like that. I was like, yeah, they can suck a dick on that. This was teamed up. The artist who designed this was, I'm blanking on his name, was Matt Adaman, I believe. He was the one that did all the designs and stuff like that for this company right here, Tiffany & Co. Everybody knows Tiffany & Co. They make that. I got a little blue bag right here, actually. There we go. They make all the little expensive, fancy jewelry and stuff out there in the world. The high-end jewelry, if you will. So they teamed up with them to make this bottle design here. And I was just like, look at that. This brother went from designing jewelry and designs like that to doing alcohol bottles. I be telling a lot of artists out there, even told Art of Lunatic, too. It's like, dude, you need to get into designing bottles.
Yeah.
That shit's dope. Like,
yeah,
I know someone that actually does that for a living. She does it for Scotch bottles. They flew her over to Scotland. She lives there now because she designs bottles for like their limited edition series for like I believe Ardbeg, and I'm blanking on the other one right now, but she does the designs for them and whatever. And I go like, I don't know why artists ain't jumping on this. Like, they make limited edition bottles almost every fucking month and shit, so like, get on that shit ASAP. I mean, that's like really good money right there. And plus, these bottles are usually tend to be so limited. This bottle, they only made 1,500 of. So unlike whiskey, though, and beer, they do not tell you like what bottle number this is out of how many, I guess. So I had to look that up when I saw that they only made 1,500 out of these bottles. Batch 2022-1100, 47.6% alcohol on here. I think it was aged in Weller barrel bourbon for about, I think 12 or 16 months, one of those, which probably shouldn't have much of a difference. It's just really weird that they chose Weller bourbon barrels. And like every while I looked it up, I was just like, why did they choose that bourbon barrel of all? And I saw no connection at all with Buffalo Trace and this company here at all. Like, I couldn't find anything. I guess they just like Weller, or if they will, but it's pretty weird that like some French dudes just said, oh yeah, let's choose Weller barrels. oh, look at that. I mean, it's just really gorgeous. So we're going to go ahead and get into the sipping notes. I've had it sitting here for like almost 40 minutes now in my little long neck glass. Woo! Damn. Man, you can smell the grapes like right off this motherfucker right away. Like, it is just like, what? Damn. That is a beautiful smell.
Man, you make me thirsty for some Maromagnac right now, but I'll wait. I'll save it.
Holy sh!
I'll save it.
Oh, man, it's got like this dry fruit complexion right now. Very complex. Very unique.
Look at that color. The color is beautiful.
That color is beautiful, too, people. Look at that right there. It's got like a dark amber.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom part looks almost like a golden amber, a golden copper, but the top part's got that dark amber feel to it.
Beautiful color.
Yeah, it's a beautiful color. Armagnacs are made to be just sipped out of the long stem glasses. Oh my God, those fucking grapes smell wonderful. Oh. Wow. This is really good. Hmm. So, in other words, this is an experimental Armagnac for the company here because it was one of the first that they barrel-aged. I forgot all the barrels that it was aging, but I know Gascon oak barrels was used. Obviously, Weller bourbon barrels were used, and there's like three other ones, too. They were looking for something to have a little bit more cash strength to it. And I guess that's when all the Armagnac people were like, Armagnac's not supposed to be cash drink, so therefore it's not Armagnac. So. Oh, fuck, man. This is. Whew. Man. Oh, and this is this batch is blended for 25 to 26 years, too, as well. So this is a 26-year-old Armagnac as well. Oof.
A nice fucking age right there.
Oh, that's a beautiful age. When I saw that, I was just like, ooh, oh, thank God. Because usually, like, these unnumbered bottles, whatever, they're usually, like, under 10 years old and shit. But let me go ahead and sip this. This nose is a winner. I mean, it is just, like, got this dark fruit flavor to it. The grapes stick
great
out the color, most.
Great nose. Everything's all sides and lining right now.
Great bottle design. Price-wise... 150, would I pay 150? I mean,
I think so. For what you describe it, it is 27 years old and is aged in bourbon barrels. Yeah.
Yeah, 150, I'd pay that.
That sounds fair.
I guess you got to pay 179 now because K&L don't have any more. So,
mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and sip this bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, you taste that cash strength. Holy shit. Wow. I've never tasted that. I've only had two Armagnacs so far this year, but that really packs a kick right there. I love how, like, all the liquor, think of it as like a wave. The sides are all the cash strength, and in the middle, it's nothing but fruits.
Mm.
So, like, I'm getting hit on the cheekbones here with the cash strength and even on the finish. But right down the middle of the slick down my tongue, all the way down the middle of my throat, whatever, it's nothing but like dark fruits right there. The grapes still stick out too, by the way. I see why they threw the word grape on it. I mean, it really does stick out. Like, I'm tasting like purple grapes, if anything, as well, too. Or do they call those red grapes? I don't remember.
I don't know. I forgot.
They're the dark colored ones. Yeah. I think they're red grapes, actually.
They just look purple.
They look purple, though. So I don't call them red, but I eat the fuck out of those. And so I'm familiar with the taste of it. So. And it's just got, it's screaming that right now. Not green grapes. It's definitely the red ones. Mm. It's got like this little cinnamon touch on the tip of your tongue too, in the palate. There's like a little kick right there, a little spice. The finish is a little bit above medium. It's not too lingering. It doesn't have that sting neither, like cash drink, like whiskey does. There's no sting there. It's just got like this pleasant, refreshing sensation. Hmm. There's something there on the palate. It's got like it's not a spice neither. It's like a tart flavor. Yeah, it's tardy, but I don't know what that is, though. I think I have the food in my head, too, and I can't fucking know the name. I don't know the name of it right now. But it's got, like, this tart flavor that, like, evaporates right on the right when as soon as it touches the tongue and turns into, like, powderish and shit. Yeah, you taste that oak barrel right there. Swirl it around. It's just all nothing but oaks. None of your usual, though, like bourbon flavors, like you're not getting any like caramel or oak or anything like that, or the toast or anything. No leathery taste as well, neither. But you are getting like this wheaty taste, though. I think that's what it is now. I think it's like a wheat tart. That's probably where the Weller comes in, since Weller is mainly a wheaty bourbon. And it stays like right in the front of your mouth too. Doesn't go right here in the finish. Once it gets to the finish, it's nothing but fruit flavor, mainly in the grape collection. I like the lower you get down to the glass too. Like it looks like it's getting lighter from the inside of it, but on the outside it still has like that dark, almost like a dark chocolate color too. That's a really beautiful color right there, people.
It really is.
You know, that's the thing about these limited edition Armagnacs, too, on K&L, people. Just get it right away. Because that bottle that Cody bought, I have not seen that motherfucker pop back up on there.
All right.
And this one, I have not seen pop back up on that motherfucker neither. So, yeah. So, if you see it on there, just grab it then, I guess. Because that shit, it's like Cody just said, it's a ghost. It's there and gone. Man, this would go really good with a cigar. I can feel it, though. Another thing, too, is it has, like, that everyday appeal of drinking. I feel like I can drink this with brunch, lunch, or dinner.
Interesting.
And I feel like it would even go good with dessert, too. It's just so smooth and clean. What I love about this is that the cask strength doesn't overtake over it. Still getting all the flavors, the uniqueness of it. The wheatiness and the tart is a little overpowering at the beginning, and which could easily be forgettable too, because you're still thinking about that finish when that cask strength kicks in and all the grapes and shit. But once you finish swallowing and shit, you get back to the beginning of it and you go like, yeah, I still taste that little tartiness on my tip of my tongue there. That could be a positive or negative for some people. For me, I'm kind of in the middle. I don't think it improves it or takes away or anything like that, but yeah, I don't have like a really strong feeling about it as far as like, do I love it or hate it? I think it's just, I don't even want to say it's just there because it is kind of overpowering a little bit, but it's fine. It's nothing bad or anything. Ooh, shit. Ooh, man. Lick your tongue around your teeth and shit. That shit gets your tongue drunk.
Damn. Get that tongue drunk.
Hey, hold on. Wait a minute. I took so many sips, people. I didn't realize that like it was sticking to my teeth. So I run my tongue around it and whatever and shit. It's like, ooh, shit. That was spicy. Now my tongue is all fucked up now. My tongue drunk and shit. And your tongue is like, hold on. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Hold on. You drinking all me right now? Ooh. That's crazy because the cocktails, I tasted none of this. I didn't taste any of this at all, of this and drinking this straight now. I'm just like, man, this is a totally different drink now. Granted, obviously it should be, but I didn't get any of these notes when I made the cocktails I had off air, obviously. Man, that's spiced now too. That was on the palate or the tip of my tongue of the palate. That shit's all in the back end now too. It's like, I think it's like our earlier conversation we had off air. I think it's like a bacteria. I think it's growing now on my fucking tongue. It started off in the top of the tip. Now it's in the middle, and now it's like halfway in the back end. But it doesn't eviscerate on the tip or the middle end. It's still there. It's just now like moving slowly towards the back end. Because I'm feeling the heat now. That little bit of heat that I said that wasn't there a little bit, it's starting to take over the whole tongue now. Mm. Ooh, man. Ooh, I'm loving this. Ooh. Damn. Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. It's fully there now. Yeah, this is a solid pour. This is a...
Looks like it. Sounds like it.
I'm enjoying this now. I'm loving the evolution of this now. It's growing. I can't decide which is my favorite part, though, now. I'm loving that finish, but I'm loving the palate right by now. I started off with the finish, but the palate is just there. And the grapes now are, like, kind of vanishing, actually. The grapes are like secondary, which was like the beginning of it. I'm trying to depend on rating now. Here we go. Mm. It's got like this old vintage brandy taste to it too.
Kind of like a almost dusty quality.
Yeah, I was like looking into it now, and I'm going like, there's something like vintage-ness about it. Obviously, it could be the age itself. I mean, 25 to 26 years makes or whatever. Sense. Shit. That's, I mean,
a long time.
Yeah, we're looking at about like, shit, if I'm 33, oof. Yeah, we're looking at a long-ass time here. So, This shit is complex as hell. I mean, I'm getting different notes every time now. A lot of uniqueness there. You can tell though the maturation here. It has like that sophisticated age to it. It doesn't taste young at all. This tastes like it was this time was taken on it. Feels like every sip is like something new now. But I think now that I'm towards the bottom of the glass, I'm really starting to taste that age statement more. It's like a lot, actually a lot more down to the bottom of this glass. And I'm starting to like this more than the beginning of it too. I always love a good age statement bottle. I try to say that like, oh, age, it doesn't matter. Unless you have something really good. And obviously Armagnacs are just known for their ages. I mean, their ages are like out of this world old and shit. And which is crazy because for this Armagnac, this is kind of young for some. Because some of them go back to like fucking 1960 something or whatever, you know. So this one being only 25, 26 years old. I think the one you bought off K&L was 30?
I was 39. I got to check again. I think it's 39 years old.
Yeah, 38, 39, somewhere around there. So, yeah, I mean, you're going past both our times here.
Yeah.
I bet that one tastes a little older, too, though, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Obviously, I'll dive more into it next week. But, yeah, it definitely has a – kind of like we were saying with the kind of like vintage, dusty kind of quality. Yeah, you can definitely taste it. And you can't mistake that either. You don't get that with younger spirits. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I know I'm tasting something that has weathered the time, if you will.
I love this. This is, like, becoming really fucking better and better. Every part of the glass has something. You drink the top part, you get in the grapes and the cask strength. The middle part, you get in this weedy, tart spiciness to it. And then you get to the bottom part, it's nothing but, like, age statement. This is unique as hell. It's got a lot of complexity to it. This is like a trophy winner on my bar case here. God, I'd be curious as to like see who I would share this with though and see what they would think of it. Yeah, it's getting the last drop.
There it is.
It's getting the last drop.
Boom.
I'm really
that's just what I expected.
I'm really loving the bottom portion of this glass right here. Like it. Oh damn, that color still looks pretty as fucking damn. Mm-hmm. I'm really loving this bottom portion. It just tastes vintage as hell. It tastes like I'm drinking something that's older than I am. It could be, I guess, because it just says it was aged in those barrels for 25, 26 years. So, yeah, I'm feeling this a lot right now. Everything else about it is a winner, is a last drop. Is that the presentation design, hooking up with Tiffany & Co. To do the design of the bottle, which I just flat out love. I love there's no limitations. I love, oh, there's a little word. Oh, his name's right here, Matt Adamson. He was the guy who, he's the tattoo artist who garnered all of his following from, I think he's in New York too, if I'm not mistaken. Garnered all his fan base basically from Tiffany & Co. With great passion for his work and over a decade of experience, Matt realized success doesn't come easily. It takes a lot of time, patience, sacrifice, and hard work. They even put his handle here at Matt A. Adamson. This made in the Gears Department of France has been traditionally aged in Gascony oak barrels. I didn't get that at first, but like when it got to that like weedy tart flavor or whatever, it tastes just like Gascony oak barrels. Then finished in bourbon casks, hence losing its appellation of origin. Aside from this finish, it has been completely untouched. Well, damn. Well, I'd hate to tell you this, Mr. Matt Adamson. It got touched by me, baby. Touch me and I touch back. Hello? We just lost all of our audience here. Hold on. Hello? Clear. Hey. Hello? I think we lost them all. It is like, okay, that's too far now. Although Matt Adamson could be swinging that way. He's probably like, oh, really now, huh? Okay. Hook me up with some Tiffany jewelry, Matt, and we'll talk. As much as I fucking shop there, you should give me discounts anyway. Yeah, this is the last drop, man. Yeah, this is, trying to see, imported by PM Spirits. No diffs, cash strength unfiltered. Well, this is just hidden. I'm almost like savoring this last drop right here because, I'm going. Man, it tastes mature. I mean, it's a weird thing to say about liquor or whatever, but it just tastes mature. It tastes like it's got this old vintageness to it. It doesn't, I had something on here recently that just tastes young, and I don't remember what it was now, or whatever, but yeah, with this one, you could easily tell it's got like a little bit of maturity to it. And I agree with what the bottle says. They did take their time with this. A lot of patience in it, a lot of time. That shit is lingering like a motherfucker now. Damn, you could, like, I taste it all over my taste buds. You get some more of that. That's a little too good now. Let me go ahead and get a little second pour of that right real quick. Right?
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah, get a little pour of that. Hold on. Let me swirl that around a little bit. I love the calmness of it too for a cash strength. It doesn't have like that cash strength whiskey feeling to it where you damn near almost drinking gasoline and shit. And it doesn't have that lingering sting effect to it, which I love in my whiskey. Don't get me wrong, by the way, people. This one just has like this cool calmness to it, like a spring drink or whatever. Or you may be like you just sitting on the patio or whatever, and you smoking a cigar and you just lounging. I just said it right there. This is a perfect lounge drink. This pour right here is just lounging while you playing that LL Cool J. Lounging. People are like, I don't know what the fuck that is. They're like, come on, what?
I don't know if you speak English. LL what?
LL who? Like, what? Hold on. What? JB and his old ass music references or whatever. And shit. Like, God,
are you referring to Little Baby? Are you referring to?
No. No, not at all. Whatever. I'm LL Cool J. You talking about that dude from CSI? That guy? No, I'm talking about the one that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a Queen thing, baby. Oh. Yeah, it's a LA
thing. Damn, right.
Yeah. Probably one of the best LL Cool J songs, like the top five at least, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easy. Easy. Great song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Doing this. My name is
Dan. Shout out from Queens.
Hey, I slid into a chick one time. She walked and walked away. So. It didn't work out at all. Like, you know, I was just like, oh. Guess we all can't be as cool as cool.
No, we cannot.
Yeah. No, it's funny enough. Yeah, funny enough, I am LL Cool J or whatever, but not cool at all. That's not so cool, J. Oh, yeah. Ladies don't love this J. So, anyway. It's fine. Yeah, that's probably going to be my new handle on here now. It's not so cool, J.
LDLJ. Ladies don't love this
J. Ladies don't love this J. The dudes do, though. They love me. I don't love them back, though, so that's the problem. So. Oh, man. Yeah, right there. Okay, yeah. People are like, he turned that old shit off. Can you just like play, play that Drake? That, you know, play that new Drake. Man. I want to hear that. By the way, yeah, that's my shit right here. That oh, and that Donda. Play that Donda. That's my shit right there too. Yeah, play that.
That shit exists.
I did too, because. Motherfucker sucks. So, anyway, I know California people think that he's fucking great or whatever shit.
Greatest thing to ever grace this planet.
You know, I said that on on our Nas live stream last week, and I some California people were like just baffled by that or whatever. I made the comment saying, you know, only in California I hear someone can tell me some shit like Drake is more talented than Nas, and it's just like. I never hear no shit like that in the East Coast, like at all. Like, I don't even think they would even like, I never even hear them talk about Drake actually, now that I think about it, which is crazy because he's super popular, but like his name just does not get brought up at all. But in California, oh my God, you can't even go to a fucking Mexican taco stand without hearing fucking Drake's music playing in that motherfucker, which I've heard before. blows my fucking mind. I was just like, to the point I had to tell the person, I was like, can you put some salsa on or something like that? Like, can you change this shit, please? So it just blows my mind that California people think that that motherfucker's talented or more talented than an actual GOAT. I want to thank everybody that tuned in, by the way, to that. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, that was a cool show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A few distilleries reached out to me after that show, and those places are really fucking dope as hell. They're going to be sending me some things. So.
You got me excited for when we do our little IG live thing later this month.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's going down. It was really cool. I gave away a Weller Special Reserve. I was just like, fuck it, let's just get rid of some Christmas spirits here or whatever and shit. And someone won it right away and was just like, all right, cool. So yeah, I had a lot of fun doing it. Thank you for everybody that tuned in and sent us all your questions and gave me shit about having Life as Good as a number. I forgot what number I had it on, but it was pretty low on the list and shit. Which is funny because everybody list had the top same.
How dare you?
So everybody list had the same top 10 I did or whatever and shit. And I was just like, wait a minute. So where are you putting Life is Good now? Hold on. Wait a minute. Either way, it's not top 10 then. So, looked like I was right then. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. It was really fun. Always, it's always fun talking some hip hop about like, you know, actual good hip hop people. I got slammed with that one question, though, of, like, who's my top five of all-time greatest MCs? I was like, ooh, shit.
Yeah, that's hard, man. Just think of that on the fly.
Fuck, man. Obviously, I had Nas and Rakim in there. I mean, that was easy. Mm-hmm. KRS-One, obviously, I had. And then I started thinking. I was like, man, I got, like, MC Shan, Light. I had a lot of people in there. Some people said Biggie in there, but I was like, Biggie only had two albums. I go by longevity a little bit, so. Yeah. Funny enough, nobody from the West is on there, so.
Hey, man, I'm shocked you didn't put Eminem on there, man.
I'm sorry, what? What did you just say? What did you say?
Man, I was like, where's Eminem on this top? I don't
At the trailer park trash where he
where is he?
That's where he's at. Okay, he's like.
Eminem.
I don't like
him. You, for sure.
No, man. I don't like Eminem at all. I you know, Eminem used to, and we can go to Eminem rant real quick. Eminem used to piss me off in hip hop because I felt like his attraction to hip hop was not because he was actually a good rhymer. It was just that he was fucking crazy and he was white and he was acceptable. Because I noticed when I was in school, all the other race kids and shit like that. They didn't talk about any of the other rappers until Eminem started rapping. And I was just thinking, I was like, why is Eminem acceptable for you? I never heard anybody talking about any of
it. Make a good point.
No other rapper was talking, or other students were talking about like other rappers and shit like that, or none of them. Then Eminem came around. And funny enough, I actually do put Eminem in that, I don't know, that monument of hip hop artists because of his longevity and what he did and stuff like that and his popularity and all that shit. I just don't like him personally. And then he turned hip hop into pop, which really pissed me off.
He did.
He strongly turned that because he had a huge little following and shit. And then he turned that shit into pop like a motherfucker with his dressing up as Robin and shit like that and having Dr. Dre sit in that. It's just like, all right, man. Like he just really fucked that up. And then he appeared on one of the best tracks on the new the Nas album here, King's Disease 2. He had the GOATs on there, Cody. He had EPMD. Woo, man. The last time you heard EPMD, Cody.
Been a long time.
Cody ain't last time he heard them. He was still in the womb.
I think so.
Yeah. His mom was playing it while giving birth.
He was rocking out in the womb. Yeah.
He came out pumping his fist and shit like that, like he was fucking Zemo and shit. Right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, they opened up strong too. Piece of shit flying your head like Mike Pence. We in the trenches. I was like, oh my god, like these two, they going hard on it. And then Nas came in with his verse. I was like, God damn, EPMD, we back in business. And then this motherfucker had to come in here with his fucking ABC rhyme and shit. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I will give him this. Hit-Boy went up on his production on him. Gave him all them sound effect noises and shit too, Cody. I was just like, man, Hit-Boy is like trying his best to make this motherfucker sound good. He's like trying. When he said... I'm like a flying bucks. I'm making a reindeer. I was just like, oh, that shit made me cringe so fucking hard. I was like, woo, man.
Hey, man. Look at that. So that was another notable one you left off too. I was like, hey, you really left Jay-Z, man. I was like, wow, you just leave it all the all the ghosts off. Man, I was like, damn. Like, yeah, I was just shocked. Because he talks really so highly about him and Jay-Z, especially Jay-Z. You're like, man, you're like, Jesus, the Rock. You know, that 2000s movie, the early 2000s movie, The Rock and The Blueprint and all that.
Nigga, you done lost your damn mind now. You know, Jay-Z name did get brought up in the comments, and you notice nobody responded to it.
I was like, man. I thought for sure Jay and him was gonna be on your list, man.
Well, I know when me and you do it, you probably gonna throw Cameron or somebody on there. You know that's Cameron. you gonna keep it in the Rock family. You know what I'm saying? You gonna be like, oh, you gonna be like Benny Siegel and Cameron. That's what I'm
saying. Biff is bleak and all.
Myth Bleak.
That motherfucker was trash.
That's funny that Jay-Z sucked himself, but he hired a bunch of trash ass rappers to him too.
God.
Man, he surrounded himself with people that suck just as bad as him. So yeah. The most popular thing to come out of that whole fucking group was Dipset, and them niggas sucked ass.
Lord, I don't know how they became like such a movement, dude. I didn't get
Ballin'.
It. Dude, there's literally a song that me and my cousin, we all used to make fun of. I forgot what that song was. It's a Dipset song. And that shit was hilarious.
Oh, they sucked hard.
Oh, man. I wish. What is that song?
So, people, I grew up in like the 90s and 2000s there. So, when I was in school, hip hop, like East Coast hip hop parts, people wasn't talked about. Like, they just didn't talk about them or anything. Like, even like Wu-Tang had like a following iron. And I saw people wearing the clothes and stuff, but like, they just didn't talk about them. For some reason, in high school, Dipset was talked about.
I think it's called Dipset Anthem.
Oh, that bullshit.
Is this it?
This motherfucker said, you should call yourself Santa because none of y'all are real. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, Eminem? Like, what?
Oh, wait, no, this ain't it. Oh, man, what's the name of that song?
What was he talking about, though? Like, people, did you know that EPMD is Eminem's favorite hip-hop artist? Do people know that?
Wait, what now?
EPMD is Eminem's favorite hip hop artist of all time.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he finally got on a track with them. And Nas, they actually finally, and this is what he produced. What the fuck is he talking about?
It wasn't a Dipset song, but it was like Dipset affiliated Jim Jones. She was called Crunk Music.
Oh, good lord.
Hilariously awful.
Well, Jim Jones himself is hilariously awful.
Yeah, so. That shit was bad.
He used to talk mad shit about Nas too, because they were
that shit was bad.
I remember the Untitled album that just came out, and you know, that album is like, honestly, if you a black person, that's like an anthem for you and shit like that. Because I mean, he just talks about like so much racism and how America was founded and shit. Like, I mean, that whole album is just like that album is actually a history book. I don't know how you couldn't have that Nas album in your top five, because it's just like a fucking past storytelling and shit right here. And I'm actually glad to see that a lot of people that was in that comment section actually did have it in their top five, because I thought it was like Nas's most underrated album, actually, especially for his later 2000s. And Jim Jones was talking shit. They were interviewing him about it. He's like, oh, what'd you think of the new Nas album at the time when it came out? And he was just like, man, don't nobody want to hear about that kind of shit, man. That's past shit, man. I ain't trying to hear about like our people and slavery and shit like that or whatever. He's like, that's why that man never succeeded in his music and shit like that. It's just like, nigga, what the fuck are you talking about? Nigga, you just came out with a song called Ballin'. Oh, We Fly High and shit. It's like, bruh, like, Ballin'. Cody, who's still making albums today and got a Grammy, and who's not even in the mention of the world of hip hop right now?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Jim? You've heard about when the last time Jim Jones been mentioned? Whose career lasted longer? I think that's a better question. Whose career lasted way longer? Who stayed? Who had longevity in this music game here, Cody? Huh?
Definitely not. Definitely not Jim Jones. Tell you that.
Shit lasted for a season.
Not Jim Jones. No, sir.
That shit lasted for a whole season, Cody. All right, that shit lasted for my senior year of high school. Okay, that was about it. That shit faded away into the background. Is that a Christmas song? That's like part of a Christmas song or something. Like, we can just throw that in there. Oh, and people was losing their mind when he started rapping fast, Cody. Because, you know, you got to Eminem rapping fast. I mean, he's spitting, man. Even though you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But, you know, he's spitting, though. I do like that production. I'll give him that. Actually, I can't even give Eminem that. That's Hit Boy. I love that production. That beat switches right there. Yeah, Hit Boy is just fucking this whole album. The way he switches beats up is like fucking amazing, incredible. But look, I don't think that Eminem verse is like god awful. I just think that song could have just did without it. To be honest, it's just like, man, he could have just wrapped that beat up. Actually, and he comes in and just like, you know. Motherfucker talking about Taco Bell shells and shit. Like, what the fuck is that? Cody, what the fuck is he talking about right now?
I don't know, but he gets by on that a lot, like that.
He does.
There's like, yes. That cadence things he does.
Yes,
and it's not really like the lyrics per se. It's just like. It makes it seem like it sounds good, but it's not really. He's not really saying shit. He's just talking in a certain way.
Just talking fast.
Yeah, that's all he's doing.
It's almost like that Jay-Z shit, actually, whatever. And said, well, he'll pause at a metaphor and then he'll go into a different topic of it and shit. And it's just like, yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that at all. Actually, I'm not a fan of that at all. No, not at all. Place with the greens and the knees, with the kings and the wings and the J's and the drinks and the yays. Okay, now he really lost me. I don't want to hear no more of this shit now. He really fucking lost me when he was talking about, like, place my names with the greats of the J's and the Drakes and the Waynes and the K's. And I was just like, all them niggas suck. I was like, what are you talking about right now? What is he talking about, Cody? Like, put his name up there with the Drakes and the Wayne. I don't like you, but, like, Jesus, have a little fucking non-humble pie. You are way above Lil Wayne and Drake, okay? Like, could you imagine, Cody, if fucking Biggie was alive today and that motherfucker said, I want to put my names up there with the fucking Drakes and the Waynes of the world? We're like, what? How did this not baffle people? I was just confused by this. I was just like, if you're an MC or even was considered one or whatever and shit, and you are talking about a lyric, well, you're on an album or a track with Nas and EPMD, and you're talking about, like, what do I got to do to put my names up there with the Drakes and the Waynes and the K's and the J's? You just need to give up then. Like, you just need to stop. This ain't for you. I don't know anyone that would even have that on their top five, let alone the top 20. Cody, would you list any of those names he just listed in your top 20 MC list of all time?
No.
Oh, okay. God damn. I would put salt and pepper above all those people. Jesus, man. I mean, shut up, nigga.
It's manipulative. That's what it is. He's not really doing anything.
People like that shit. Like, you are exactly right, though. Like, he has gotten a pass on this for years, and it's just like, it's just really freestyling, to be honest. I mean, it's not even really logical, critical hip hop thinking, or it's like, it's just him freestyling, shooting at them.
Right. It's what they call the flow. If people, some people, like, they love a certain flow, even though they're not really saying shit within said flow. And there's a lot of artists that get by on that flow. Eminem is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That shit will get by for me.
No.
I know a lot of people where they do that. And Lupe Fiasco, he does that sometimes too. And so he's saying some older stuff, but he's actually saying shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Go Look At Your Flow. Like, there's this part of that song where he, like, switches up his flow, but he's actually saying shit.
Yes. I'm not even saying it has to be meaningful. Just let me know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
And Eminem gets by doing that shit.
It's like, no, he's making noise at this point.
And I'm eating Taco Shell Bell, and I'm just like, nigga, hold on, man. Hold on. You know, a track with EPMD and Nas, your first ever time. Your favorite artist is, as you claim, too, whatever. And this is what you came up with? Nah, bro. Like, this ain't working. And you know the fucked up part about it is when that album came out, everybody's talking about, oh, he got Eminem on a track. Eminem's there. I was just like, that's like my least favorite fucking feature on the fucking track, actually. Especially when you got Lauryn Hill, Hit-Boy himself is on there, fucking EPMD. Who else is on there? I'll even take that singing motherfucker from Brunch on Sundays and shit, whatever. I mean, he's on there. And people were clouding Eminem for that fucking verse he did. It's like, dude, get out of here with that shit, please. Okay. I feel like only time he was ever rapping about anything meaningful is when he was talking that crazy shit back in the day, Cody.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, what?
I agree with that.
Yeah, like, when the last time Eminem for you put out, like, a meaningful track for you?
Oh, Jesus Christ. But Stan?
Oh, 1998. All right, cool. Oh, man, that album gets the last drop, by the way. King's Disease. That was a much needed thing for this dying age of hip hop, Cody. I am tripping balls right now. Is the fucking album cover on this damn thing moving and shit? Like, that shit's moving, ain't it?
It looks like you changed the colors.
It is.
It looks like, you know, when you do that, when you pull up the Apple Card on your phone, that's what it looks like.
I think it's doing that right now. I never noticed that.
Let me pull that up right now. Hold on.
I have never fucking noticed that. Wow. All right. People on Apple Music, I got, like, the King's Disease album up, and the album logo is like, it's almost like doing that thing like those old Blu-rays used to do that had that vinyl cover and you move it around and it changes.
Oh, yeah, it's like Spotify. They have, like, the animated image.
Yeah. That's what I I've never fucking noticed that before. Alrighty then. Well, people, that is the end. What's your favorite song off the album, by the way, since we talked about it?
Ooh, Kings of Seas 2?
Yeah, what's your favorite song on there?
I gotta go with Nobody.
Yeah. I think mine is Moments.
Moments.
Yeah, I think it's Moments. I love how the album ends with Nas Is Good, too. I wish it was a retirement album, to be honest, because, you know, but, you know. But, yeah, Moments is mine. I love that whole little three-track lineup, Store Run, Moments, and Nobody. Perfect. Speaking of music, so getting a little tangent here, a few new artists, or not new artists, but Kavinsky came out a new single. I don't know. I know we brought it up a little bit, but we haven't talked about it. Featuring Cautious Clay. What a name for you, too. Cautious right? Clay. When I read that, I was just like, Cautious Clay. That's actually really cool.
Yeah. I'm gonna run with you.
Does he not start this song off by saying December 2019? And that's what made me think about it and went, this motherfucker was supposed to make that album in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember that. 2 years. 2 years.
And he actually had the audacity to open the song up with this shit. And I was just like, but he just been chilling then, huh? Like, he just, all this good music that's been coming out in the past pandemic time, whatever. And he just been like, yeah, I release it when I feel like releasing. I was like, this motherfucker right here. I thought at first I liked the instrumental more. But the second time I listened to it, I was like, nah, man, I'm loving the. The flow of the lyrics. What are you giving that track, Cody? What are you rating that track? What are you thinking?
I like it. It's not my favorite Kavinsky track. I'll give it like a 2.5.
Oh, I'll give it a 3.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I enjoy the fuck out of it. I get it a 3.
Another artist that we're quite fond of came with an album recently.
Jay-Z?
Sarkadian.
Oh, yeah, Sarkadian came out with a
Radio album. Yeah, Radio Galaxy, man. I'm loving that Satellites, man. That's my shit.
Yeah, that's actually like it better than the Kavinsky one, too. Sarkadian.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when they been at? But Radio Galaxy, first of all, the name of the album is dope as fuck.
Yes, it is.
That is dope as fuck. I don't think they had a cooler album cover or whatever and shit, but you know, hey, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Satellites on there. I love that fucking song. Satellites. I'll play a little bit of it. I love that song.
It's such a, it's not like a classic Starcadian track too. The way it opens,
yeah,
you know, it's got like the cinematic quality to it. Kind of sense of wonder.
I'll tell you the one positive thing that came out of this whole pandemic era of Fast 20 and 21 is there's been a lot of good music. So, but Kavinsky got no fucking excuse. All right, I don't know what the fuck his problem is. Favorite track off the album so far? Have you listened to the whole album?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Satellites. Yeah, Satellites. Satellites the one.
Satellites. Yep. Got like this smooth lounging type vibe to it. It's got like this neon colored. I love that part. It's got like this neon color. Put your dark glasses on. And just bob the head.
It's going.
You know who else came out with a single? Is we talked about it on the live stream too a little bit. Tell me when the last time you heard this guy. Maxwell got a new song now, Cody.
Maxwell,
that brother's still singing out there, Cody. Shit,
still singing.
Still out there singing them songs, whatever shit. And I listened to it, and I was like, ooh, that boy still got pipes. Maxwell got this new single called Off. I guess November was the time to just drop out some singles and shit here, Cody. And I always loved Maxwell. I mean, I thought he had like some good storytelling in this song. I mean, everybody know that one famous song, Woman's Worth. You know, I never understood the message of that song until in my adulthood when I actually watched it. I was like, oh shit, he talking about some dead woman that died in his life. I was like, oh
yeah.
Fuck. I was like, this song is pretty fucked up. Because you know, back in school, you kind of like make fun of it, trying to do that falsetto, and when he starts off and and then you watch that video back, you're like, oh wait a minute, there's some dark shit right here. And that was one of the reasons why I grew more fond of Maxwell, because I started listening to more of his music like that and shit. And I thought he always had like a good message storytelling in his songs and shit. And plus, I thought he was always underrated too. He never got the credit that he deserved, but he got this new single out called Off. I guess he's the opposite of me. I shoot all mine and always miss. Like, hey, no woman is catching them shots at all. They dodging like it's the Matrix and shit. I just like, well, I got plenty more where that came from and shit, you know. That boy good.
Good.
That's Maxwell with Off. So there you go, people. You got Kavinsky's new single out. You got Maxwell, and you got Starcadian, who has a whole album.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, only but the best of the best on this this last drop. I was thinking for February, for Valentine's month, we played some R&B music.
Okay, a little rhythm and blues.
Yeah, I already got my first track, man. I'm ready to like throw out there. Yeah,
hey, I got to dig deep, because you know R&B is not one of my favorite genres.
That's why.
Yeah, I gotta think back. I gotta do my research.
I think all this shit gonna be old, to be honest. So I was thinking every week we do a different theme too, whatever, because I mix and match. I thought we should do like some like the goofier shit, like it, mainly when I say goofy shit I mean Tyrese and shit.
Okay. All right. I think I got something for that. Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, I do. Okay.
He was the only goofy motherfucker I could think of at the point. Actually, I take that back. Cisco was always up there. Have you watched that thong song video?
That
shit is fucking.
Did we talk about it?
I think we like, did. Talk about it, actually, yeah. We actually did. Like, you watched that shit. Because remember, he has the little girl come in. She's like, "Daddy, what's this?" And he goes, it's like, I don't think that's good parenting right there. I don't know how I'd feel about my daughter finding some strange woman's draws and shit like that ever. And the rest of the video is just him on the beach doing flips and shit with some dudes. Me and you showed that shit to like a 23 or 24 year old dude, and he just looked at it and was just like, so this is what y'all was watching back then? Like, this is how y'all was getting down? And we was just like, yeah, man, that's a thong song. And then we just looked at him and was just like, it was the first time I've seen it in a while, and I just looked at him and was just like, oof, man, this is...
Yeah, that's just not good.
This ain't helping my case. I mean, this dude is doing anything but hanging out with these women right now. He's flipping with these dudes and shit, and this is like, all right. Like, it's a song about thongs, and all you doing is pointing at them. You ain't doing shit with these ladies. Like, what's going on here? Like, but yeah, I think we could do that in February. Get back into the... You know who else is still singing too? Who's still got a voice? Is Monica. I saw her do a live performance.
Okay, good for her.
I saw her do a live performance of what's that song she did with that bald-headed Negro we just talked about, Tyrese. Angel of Mine or whatever and shit. There we go, yeah. He was in that video. Check it out. He was in that video.
I remember that.
he was the main dude that, but
they, okay.
He didn't sing though, but he was the dude she was talking about the whole movie, the video and shit. And he's just like looking confused most of the time and shit. The man of many acting faces or whatever and shit. That girl could still sing her ass off, and she still looked good too. It was like, holy shit. But anyway, and I think Alicia Keys got a new album coming out in like 5 more days. I think this week actually. So. Ooh, don't even get me started. How the fuck Swiss Beats get that? But anyway. Anyway, I'm not hating at all. I'm not petty like that.
Yeah, we'll roll with that story, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's not that. He ain't that. He cool.
That fucking nigga, I swear to God. Anyway, people, that is the end of the show, though. Gave you some good booze tips here. Gave you an early spoiler of a Curry coming to the Lakers, you know.
Or your shit, not spoiler, really.
Hey, look,
well, fiction.
I brought
not spoiler fiction.
I brought some news to the NBA and drinking world here, Cody.
Bought some tall tales.
They gonna be a tall tale when we catching them rebounds again. I'll tell you that shit. Watch that. Yeah, I brought you a tall tale, all right. Shit, I brought you a shooting tale, and you gonna be thanking me. You gonna be hugging me when we hitting 150 points every game. You just wait and see, Cody. Every game, we don't even need to defend anymore because we got 150 every day. We can't be, you can't help defense, I guess. Anyway, that is the first week of Armagnac month here. That is wrapped up in the books here. I gave this a last drop. We talked about some music as well, some shit we didn't like, mainly that Santa Claus song and all the musical shit in there. We're gonna talk more about that. Cody's week is next week of some more Armagnac mix and match week, where we talk about the. With some shitty Christmas music, and then the week after that, we got our best and worst of, or just mainly our best of, honestly.
Best of, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm drink shit, so.
There it is. So, that's special right there.
Yeah.
Lay of the land, yep.
So, people, with that said, my 49ers are about to play the Seahawks, and about to win, because we're looking playoff bound now, so, and I'm happy for that. So, I am your Godfather of Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the Godfather of Craft Beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry.